appreciate the interest in your prayers and attention today. Very thankful for time that we can be together. And thought I had the message before yesterday started. And yesterday we told some of you we went to this visitation and then went to visit Brother Mike, and from there we went to the cemetery where my mother and father are buried, and my wife's grandparents are buried there, and an uncle of hers took some flowers to the graves. And so as I came back to the house, and we were gone a big part of the day, and as I came back, it seemed like the Lord opened up something different to me, so I would like to share that with us. I feel like that all of us have a choice to either succumb or rise above. And it's always a melancholy experience at best to put the combination of going to a funeral visitation, visit someone that is afflicted, and the cemetery all in the same day. So as I begin to reflect on that combination of events in my life yesterday, I had to think about adversity. And anytime I'm in the cemetery and I'm close by my parents' grave or my mother-in-law or anyone that has passed on that has been real special or close to me. Thank you, Brother David. I have to reflect on what their life meant to me and the factors that made their life up. So I was thinking about the adversity about my parents met. And adversity, in my mind, I didn't look this up in the dictionary, so I'm going to give you my definition. To me, adversity is not self-inflicted consequences. Adversity comes to all of us because we live in a world that is depraved. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's going about seeking whom he may devour. He is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we have an enemy that is our adversary, and he wants to bring and introduce adversity into all of our lives. Satan will see to it that adversity comes to us. It's not that we have to go looking for it. It's not because we make a bad decision. Please understand me. We can make bad decisions, but we can make bad choices, but adversity will come even when we make all good decisions. All right? I'll give you an example. If you go out here and drive in excess of the speed limit and you are stopped by a law enforcement officer, there's a consequence that comes with that, and you can get a speeding ticket. But that's not adversity, all right? That's a consequence of a bad decision. I know, because I've been there. I've done that. When I was much younger, I remember one time after we were married, I was driving faster than I should have been, and my wife said, we hadn't been married very long, and she said, you ought to slow down. And it was late at night, and it was dark, and I didn't think anybody was out there but me. and there was one other car. And I was driving way too fast. We was going home, and I got the consequences for that. That was a bad decision. That wasn't adversity. Same vehicle. We were driving to La Ronger. I don't remember the time which happened first, but we were driving to La Ronger and driving down Interstate 55 in Mississippi, and it was dark, raining, and a deer come blasting up out of the side ditch and run in front of me, and I hit that deer, knocked out the headlights on one side, bent the hood up, pushed the radiator back, and it's probably just a miracle that I was able to drive it on in. That's adversity, all right? That's something that happened. I wasn't driving too fast. I wasn't doing anything. It was no bad decision on my part. But this adversity came and presented itself and caused me, it inhibited my desire to fulfill a good decision. It was a good decision to go to La Ronger for the meeting. And that's where we were headed. That's why we were going down there. That's why we were traveling that late at night. So adversity is going to come outside of our realm of choice. All of us are going to meet adversity. Brother Mike has met adversity of affliction. It wasn't because he's chose to do something that's brought this on him. It's not because that he's a bad person or anything like that. In fact, as I was there at the cemetery and I was thinking about my mother and the adversity that came her way, she was widowed the first time at 19 years old after being married about 4 months. That's adversity. She didn't make a choice to do that. She was excited to be married, and 4 months later, she was a widow. And her father that she was very close to passed away when she was 28. That's pretty young to lose your father. And I think about my dad. He grew up with the reality that his father left the home before he was born. 1930, you think about that. Wasn't his choice. But his father chose to leave the family before he ever entered into the world. And my dad grew up without a father's impact, without the stability of a father in the home. My father was denied several opportunities and desires in his life by people that didn't believe in him and trust him. It wasn't because he wasn't capable. It was because I know that people didn't believe in him and they didn't trust him. So, I don't know what your adversity is, but I'm sure you've had them. You might be in the middle of adversity right now. You might be going through something that you feel crushed down. Wasn't your choice. wasn't because you were speeding. It wasn't because you had acted unreasonable with anyone else. It was something that happened that was out of your control. Might be affliction. It might be calamity has happened. I knew a family one time that was in the middle of the night. They had a gas leak develop in the house, and somehow that got ignited and their house exploded with them in it. That's adversity. It wasn't because they left the gas on. It was something that happened. It was out of their control. They were not careless people. She was one of my school teachers. But the house just exploded. It looked literally. The brick was off of the wall. It was a horrible explosion. They survived. But it was a very traumatic experience for them. So we have two options today. We can either succumb to our adversity and be crushed down, and we can fall under the crushing effect of adversity and begin to do things that will not help us, will not be a benefit to us. You know, I heard a story my brother told one time about a man that was working on a car. He'd done several things like this, but this one thing was completely unreasonable, I guess. Done a lot of unreasonable things, but he's working on a car and he had the hood off of it or something. Maybe it was laying on the ground. And something happened, didn't go right with the repairs, not because he necessarily done something wrong or anything like that. And maybe he cut his finger or broke a tool or broke a part, I don't know. But he just went over and he succumbed to the adversity, and he just went over and just stomped on the hood of this car. Just tore it all up by stomping it. He succumbed to what was happening that was out of his control, and he had control over his actions, and he went over and just made a mess of the hood. And, you know, it didn't help him at all. In fact, it just created a worse scenario. And we have a choice. What are we going to do with it? So I'll tell you what my mother did. I believe she rose above it. As a young boy, I remember her going about her task after her and my father married, and I came into the home, and as I grew up, my memories of my mother as a young boy was that she sang while she worked. Everything she done, she was singing, and she was happy. And she told us stories after stories that were pleasant memories of her father. I never remember her blaming God for taking her dad when he was only 57. I never remember her throwing that up. I never remember her going. She told us all of the happy things that happened when she was a small child. She rose above that. And I don't know how my father learned how to be a father to two sons without having a father in his own life. But he did. And he rose above the adversity that was presented to him. It was out of his control. It wasn't anything that he asked for. But it was something he was faced with, and he rose above it with the help of the Lord. And even though others didn't believe in him and didn't trust him, at some real turning points in his life, he believed in us. He encouraged us. And one of the things he told me after I was grown and away from home is he said, I wished I could have done more. He wasn't envious. He wasn't jealous because he had been denied opportunities, but he encouraged us. That's rising above adversity. You know, none of Job's adversity came to him because he was making bad choices. Job's adversities came from outside sources. He didn't have any control over it. It wasn't because that he had decided to be less than what he should have been. Adversity came to him. I'd like to go to the second chapter of Job and read just a little bit. This is the account after his children were lost to various things, after he had been afflicted. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Well, this is going to include the account of his being physically afflicted. In verse 6, beginning chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." You think Job was discouraged? I think he was. Why else would you go sit in the ashes? Why else would you just content yourself with scraping your boils? I think Job was down in heart. He was down in the mouth. He was at a low ebb. You know, all of those that have faced adversities has had their emotions taken down to the bottom. And if you faced adversity in your life, you know what it's like to feel like I'm just right down at the bottom. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm just existing emotionally. And maybe you're just existing physically. Maybe you're in a lot of pain. You're in a lot of distress. But you may be crushed down with adversity of, it might be accusations, it might be rejection, it might be a lot of things that adversity could present to you, and you could feel so crushed down to the point that you're ready to just crawl off in the ashes, so to speak, and scrape yourself. And that's the way Job was. So we notice here that he was, in my mind, he was very discouraged. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Do you know that sometimes during adversity, people feel like that death is an escape? It'd be a relief. People feel like that. And his wife said, "You don't have anything to live for. It doesn't look like all your possessions is gone. All your health is gone. Your children is gone." And now his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That's adversity, isn't it? Yeah. You know, Job didn't. He hadn't been mean to his wife. I'm real sure about that. It's not written down, but I'm sure about it. He hadn't been mean to his wife. But she turned against him too. But he said unto her, this is where he made the decision. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips?" Job made a decision in himself. I'm not giving in to adversity. Adversity was not his choice. It was not consequences of his bad decision. But Job in himself decided, I believe the Lord's power enabled him, all right? But Job had to make the decision, I'm not going to allow adversity to destroy me. You're going to have to make that choice. I can't make it for you. Every one of us is going to have to make that choice. I'm not going to let adversity bring me to destruction. So I'd like to go to the 19th chapter of Job. And notice here, beginning in verse 14. He says here, "Let the words of my," I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong, I got completely in the wrong book. Job, the 19th chapter. and the 14th verse, he says, my kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved have turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. Now, he had a miserable state, didn't he? He said, my kinsfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. You know that it seems like sometimes when adversity happens, it's kind of like opens the door for more adversity. When things go wrong, it seems like it runs in packs. You know, one thing goes wrong, and then something else goes wrong, and just one thing after another, and it just seems like it's, if it's not the kinsfolk, it's the people that dwell in his own house, the maids and his servants, the ones that he used to call, and they said, yes, sir, what would you like for us to do? Instead, they didn't even answer him. Just one adversity after another. Do you get the picture there? So even the young children despise me. The ones that might have looked before and said, oh, that's Job. He's the man that owns all of those camels over there. And now it's, yeah, he's the man with all those boils on his head. You see? One adversity led to something else. And he says, my bone is cleaved to my skin and to my flesh. I'm just withering away. I'm suffering. I'm in anguish mentally, physically, spiritually, am in trouble. And he says, I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. All of this I'm reading to you because I know all of us at some point will be there, if you're not there today, and all of us are going to be tempted to feel like that everything has gone wrong. All right? I've been in those places in my life where it seems like everything around looks like it's going wrong. I don't feel like I can do anything right. Whatever I do just seems to blow up in my face, so to speak. I'm talking about adversity. I'm not talking about doing something and receiving consequences for bad choices. I'm talking about adversity that happens to us, and it seems that it just seems to snowball on us. Just gets worse and worse and worse. You know, Job was a man that he had a very tenacious personality. He said, I will not give up. One place he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Here he says, I'm escaping by the skin of my teeth. That's a very narrow margin if you don't know. That's a very close space to escape, just to escape by the skin of your teeth. I mean, that means danger was imminent. So I'd like for us to turn to the 42nd chapter of Job, beginning in verse 1. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. In the chapter before this, God was speaking to him about where he stood and his abilities relating to God's abilities. The relationship between God's abilities and Job's abilities. He says, I know thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent, and dust and ashes. I'm trying to put those two words together. Job came to the place that he realized that although he had made this decision, I will not give up, I will not succumb to adversity that come against me, he realized that he was feeling self-sufficient and capable in himself. And he came to the place that he was willing to repent of feeling capable in himself. Did you know that adversity can come and we can be strong in the midst of adversity to the point that we begin to feel like we're strong enough to do it in ourselves? And that's a dangerous place to be. Lord, help us to not get in a place where we feel like we're like Job felt like he was. Everybody was against him. I don't think that was a stretch of anybody's imagination. I believe that he did go from someone that was esteemed to someone that was looked down on by everybody. His family, the little children in the neighborhood, if there was such a thing, all of those that was looking on, they just looked down. There was something. They felt like that this was a consequence of something, bad decision on Job's part. And it was not. It was just adversity. And Job had become elevated in his own mind to some extent, and he had to repent of that. But notice what happened when he said to the Lord, I repent in dust and ashes. Verse 10, he says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. The thing I want us to get out of this is Job came out. I'm not even so much concerned about him having twice as much as he had before. I want us to notice that all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been his acquaintance before did eat bread with him in his house. They all, his relationships was restored. He had been in a place of being despised because of the adversity that come against him, and those people that were just sure that Job had done something wrong and this was the consequence of all of it, they realized that God had brought Job through that, and they began to appreciate Job's integrity. And I want you to know that as we go back and reflect on maybe our own lives or the lives of others that have not succumbed to adversity, it can be a real strength to us when we realize there's somebody else. Maybe it'd be good for us to go visit the cemetery where we know some of the people that's buried there and walk through there and begin to reflect on the adversity that they met and how they overcome that. I believe it could be an inspiration for us because we can get really discouraged in thinking about, I'm the only one. I don't think this has ever happened to anybody else. Have you ever thought that? Or am I the only one? You know, there's time. I mean, I know that we know that time and chance happeneth to us all, but you know, we have those unique experiences, and there's times that you begin to wonder. I just wonder if anybody has ever been right here like me. I wonder if anybody's had this much rejection. I wonder if anybody has ever had this much calamity happen in their life. You know, you see something falling and you know what's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's adversity coming your way. And you begin to think, it's just the stars are lined up. No, please don't do that. There's adversity that happens. It's because we live in a world that the enemy is looking. He's our adversary. He's looking, he's roaring like a lion, and he's coming trying to trip us up, and he's bringing things to us when we didn't make bad decisions. It's not because you done something foolishly or ignorantly or recklessly or anything like that. There's things that can happen to us all. Doesn't matter where we're coming from in life. It can happen to all of us that adversity comes. The issue and where it becomes relative to us is, what are we going to do with it? Am I going to succumb to it? Am I going to let it be the defining characteristic of our lives? You know, Job could have not rose above it. We wouldn't have the book of Job. We wouldn't have the story of Job. I don't know. Maybe we would have an account in the scripture somewhere of the failure of Job. Instead, we have a record of him saying, I've escaped by the skin of my teeth. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And we see the end result of not succumbing to adversity. And I'm thankful for that. All right? I'd like for us to go now to Luke, the 8th chapter, and notice something in a parable that Jesus gave. In Luke chapter 8, and I want to read verse 7, I believe. He says here, this is the parable of the sower. And this is the statement he makes. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. He's talking about sowing the wheat, the seed of the sower. And as he sowed the grain, he sowed it in a place where there was whether there was actually standing thorns or not, I think there was thorn seed there. All right? You know, you can go out in the spring and cultivate the soil and till it up, and it can look so beautiful. It does to me anyway. Nice work soil, a perfect seed bed, and you can go out there and carefully plant your little seeds that you want the corn to grow from, and maybe a little later plant the green beans and the tomatoes and all of those squash and the cucumbers and all the stuff you want to grow in your garden. You can plant, carefully plant in straight rows or however you want to do it. You can plant it in your little garden, and you know what happens? I don't know where they are because I don't see those seeds when you work the soil up. But give it a few weeks and my, what you planted is in competition with other stuff. It could be grass, it could be cuckleburrs, it could be something out there that's growing in your garden. And he says here that when this seed was planted, there was thorns that sprang up with it and choked it. So I want to go down to verse 14 now. He says in verse 14, he's given an explanation. And he says, that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So the seed that fell among the thorns that sprung up and choked it, he relates that they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. I just want to focus on one word. Choked with cares. All right? Cares. I want to tell you today that I believe that adversity fits in the cares category. You know, there's cares that we have in life because adversity presents itself. What are you going to do when the back porch falls off of the house? And what are you going to do when the car won't start? And what are you going to do when you realize that there's something going on in your body and you're afflicted and you're maybe, I don't know, whether it's pain or fever or whatever. What are you going to do? That's cares. That's adversity. You didn't ask for it. No one just anticipates something failing. You know, we all have appliances at the house, and none of us want them to quit working. And none of us, take the hoses that go to our washing machine and cut them almost completely through just to see how long it'll work until it starts leaking. We don't do that stuff. We want them to work forever. And when it happens in the middle of the night, I know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night thinking, is it raining or is there water running? Oh, that's water running. And I jump up and run in, and there's water running across the kitchen floor. I've been there. That can be adversity, you see. And so these things happen, and they are cares of life. And we can succumb to that. Oh, the water pipe broke, and the porch fell off, and the car won't start, and the children's sick, and just one thing after another. And you know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you just to bail and run and leave and do something disastrous. Go stomp on the hood. You know, just do something that's completely unreasonable in that. That's what the devil wants you to do. But instead, we have a choice. Are we going to succumb to it? Are we going to give in to that? Or are we going to rise above it? Job made the decision to rise above. I believe my parents made decisions to rise above adversity that they was presented with. And I trust each one of you here today will make those decisions to rise above the adversity that comes. So you know what? These thorns that sprang up. You know, a farmer has a choice. He can either just hope for the best. And I had a farmer close to me that had a pasture, and he was grazing some cattle in, and I didn't know if there was any grass out there or not. There was cows and thistles. That's all I could see, just cows and thistles. And the cows was eating something down below the thistles. I thought, you know, it'd be so, thistles aren't, it takes a lot of perseverance, but they can be gotten rid of. Why didn't he? And we have a choice, you see. We have a choice. What are we going to do with the cares? What are we going to do with the adversities? Are we just going to just keep going and hope they get better? Or are we going to start pulling thistles? Are we going to start pulling the thorns? Are we going to start clearing this place of the things that's keeping our lives under this oppression? Under these adversity. You know, adversity will take control if we'll let it. Our adversity presents itself, and we are it's staring us right in the face, and we're going to have to do something about it. But when we do something about it, Lord, help us to not just give it. Well, I guess it's not meant for me to have a back porch on the house any longer. It just fell off. Well, no, we can't give in to that. What can we do to fix it? You know, when adversity presents itself, Lord, help me to take the mind. I'm not giving in. Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. I'm not going to give in to this. And we have to make that kind of decision to not succumb to adversity. I believe by God's grace and strength, we can pull the thorns out of our life. I'd like to go back to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, where we started. And remember, he says here that the devil is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary. He's got it in for us. But I'd like to start at the first of this chapter. Let's go. 1 Peter chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." Peter is speaking of himself, I believe. "And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So he's speaking here to those that would have spiritual oversight in a congregation. And he says, I'm challenging you to do something, to feed the flock that's among you, taking the oversight thereof. Don't do it for any selfish motivation, but you have an obligation here. He says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." You know, it's an incredible example to follow behind someone that has met adversity and has not succumbed to it. You know, that's somebody to emulate. Is if you can follow behind somebody that has not succumbed to adversity. Yes, we all have adversity. And I venture to say we could go around this room and all of us can enumerate some adversity that's happened in our life. Not a bad choice on our own, but something just happened out of the blue. Just like the storms that blew away the house of Job's children. All right? So he says here, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Did you know that God cares about the cares of this life? He cares about you. You know, he doesn't always prevent adversity from happening. I believe there's times that we can look backwards in our life and say, you know, I believe the Lord spared me of some calamity. And I am very grateful. I believe I can see that in my own life. But if I look back in my life, I can also see adversity that I've had to deal with. And you know, he cares about us. And he says here that we can take, he says, "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Remember in the parable that Jesus taught, he said the thorns, one of the things the thorns is, in the parable of the sower, is the cares of this life. And I'm telling you that the cares of this life, in the fear of the Lord, I'm telling you that that's adversity. That's one of the things that the cares is adversity. You're going to have them. And if you have it, you will. So when you have adversity that comes your way, take them to the Lord. He says, "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He's concerned about you. You haven't been forsaken. You know that he loved, respected, and esteemed Job. You know, Job says, I'm paraphrasing here, can we expect to receive good at the hands of the Lord and not evil? You know that if you go back and read the accounts, the whole situation started because God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He had great esteem for Job's integrity. You know, God cared about Job. He told Satan, if you're going to afflict him, you can't take his life. Don't take his life. That's the line. He cared about him. You know, there's times that we feel like we're escaping with just our life. just by the skin of our teeth. We have so much adversity going on in our life. It feels like we're just barely surviving. Do you know God still cares about you? He says here, casting all, not just some of it. And it doesn't matter if you've got more than anybody else in the world. Did you know that's one of the things that happens during adversity? You feel like you've got it worse than anybody else. I just want you to know that's the first step to succumbing. When you start feeling like it's worse than anybody, I've never known anybody have this much trouble at one time in their life. I must be unique. You're starting to succumb. Don't do that. Scripture says not to gauge yourself with one another. Don't measure yourselves among yourselves. I think this applies here too. So when you start realizing that no one has ever had this much trouble, you probably just don't know enough people. That's the reason you feel like you've got it worse than anybody else. You just don't know enough people. Because you can probably look around and find somebody that's had worse troubles than you. But adversity will come, and he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So here, I know we've talked a lot about problems and adversity and calamities and your porch falling off and skin and knuckles and all those kind of things that happens to all of us. It's real life. And it's not because necessarily that we made bad choices. Although if you make a bad choice, you can suffer consequences on that. But there is a technique for not succumbing and rising above. And here it's all here. Number one, be sober. Be vigilant. That's what he said in verse 8. Being sober, that means that you can't allow the intoxication of the enemy to come along and tell you that it's better somewhere else. That it's better doing something else. That it's better in a different environment. That can be intoxicating. But be sober. Realize, this is what I got on my plate. This is what I got to deal with. I know the Lord can help me. And I'm by the grace of God, I'm going to work through this. Be vigilant. That means, don't be a slacker. That means I got to work on it. That means I can't just hope that I wake up some morning and it all disappeared. Be vigilant. Be sober. He says in verse 9, this adversary that wants to come and destroy us, he says, resist. Resist is something that we have to actively do. Resist steadfast in the faith. You have to be committed. Job was committed. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. His faith was steadfast. He says, Peter says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Job was steadfast in his belief. That it didn't matter what was the adversity that presented himself, he was not going to curse God. And we have to be steadfast in that faith. We have to, this is how we rise above. We have to be steadfast in our faith and realize that no matter what adversity comes our way, it is not an excuse for me to throw my experience of salvation overboard. In Romans 8th chapter, he says, none of these things can separate me. None of the adversity that the enemy wants to bring along. There is no reasonable excuse for saying this whole idea of being a Christian is not worth it. It just don't pan out. I'm going to tell you, if you give in to that, you're succumbing. You're not rising above. He says, whom resist? Resist the adversity that the devil wants to bring, being steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same afflictions is accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, you may have a literal brother that doesn't know the Lord. And you know, they have adversity too. There's people that are not Christians that hit deer. You ever thought about that? And there's people that's not Christians that's woke up to a house that's flooded because the pipe broke. It happens. So it's not you are succumbing to adversity if you say it's because I'm trying to live for the Lord. That's why the roof leaks. No, it's because time and chance and adversity has happened. That's why the roof's leaking. But it's not a reason to throw out whether God's there or not. You remember what Job said? You remember his experience? He was steadfast. I know this is not because of bad decisions. I know it's not because God don't care about me. It's something that's happened. And I'm not giving up. That's a decision that you have to make. There is no man that can take your salvation away from you, but you can throw it out the window if you want to. You can succumb to it. You can give in. You can say that it's not worth it. I am real thankful for those that I know of that did not succumb to it. I want to end with a few passages in Revelations, the 7th chapter. Beginning in verse 1, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor in any tree. And I saw another angel." I don't want to read all this. I want us to get to the point. Verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Who do you think this Lamb was? I believe it was Jesus, the Lamb of God. And he got a vision of this. He got a vision of Christ, and he said, "And the people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." That sounds like living happily ever after, doesn't it? But it's better than a fairy tale, all right? Because it's real. I believe we can be in that place in our eternal existence if we don't succumb. He says, "And one of the elders answered, saying to me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came thee? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." I don't know, he said. And he said to me, "These are they which came out of" what? "Great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are not the ones that kissed the toad, that turned into a prince and rode off into the sunset, living happily ever after. That's not the story. These are those that came through what? Great tribulation. These are the ones that came through adversity and didn't succumb. These are the ones that was not willing to give up. These were the ones that were not willing to succumb to the idea that it's because I'm trying to live right and that's why all this bad stuff has happened to me. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie of the devil. That's one step to succumbing. We cannot afford to succumb because this is what I want. I want to be there. I want to be there with all of those that are saying, glory and honor and thanks. I want to be there. I want to be part of that group. But I know the reality is I'm going to face adversity. And you are too. I face some, and I know you face some. You may have faced more than I have. But by the grace of God, we can have a Job-like experience. We can come to the place where we say, even if everybody else won't, I will. If everybody else won't maintain their integrity, I will by the grace of God. Lord, help me to not do it in an arrogant manner. I want to be steadfast in my faith. I believe that God's got something better for me on the other side. I don't know when the other side's going to get here, and I hope it gets here soon. But right now, I am not giving in. That is step number one to not succumbing. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to entertain that. And by the grace of God, I can rise above the adversity. And I'll be able to be one of those that came through great tribulation. And you can too. I desire your prayers. One of these days, if time goes on, there's going to be a marker somewhere with my name on it. And when somebody comes by and puts something by my tombstone, what are they going to think of? Are they going to say, oh, if he had only been faithful, I needed him? Or are they going to say, you know, I remember he faced some things in his life and he did not give up. He did not succumb. I want to be more like that man. That's what I want people to say. Not because I want it to elevate me, because I want the truth to keep going on. By the help of God, we can rise above. We do not have to succumb to adversity. Lord, help us to learn from our bad decisions and the consequences that come from that. But there's just plain old adversity out there, and I know you believe, I know you've experienced it. Lord, help us today. I want to quit rambling and ask the Lord to bless our thought this morning. You pray for me.